from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who are the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him also, you, when you had heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of His glory. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our scripture began today with Paul sharing multiple times a word that is quite commonly used in our faith, but also, it seems, as often as it's used, it's misunderstood, are not fully interpreted for all that it says to us about our God and our relationship with Him. The word Paul begins is blessings. He speaks, as he shares in our text today, that blessed be God who blessed us. Now, if that's not enough to confuse us, he goes on. He says, we have every spiritual blessing that we may bless others. So for me, I need a little help this morning. I need to go back to some of the basics of what Scripture teaches us about this word blessing. What does it mean to be blessed by God? And for us as His people to bless Him back, as Paul begins this writing today. Sometimes it's helpful when we want to understand what a word means or a certain position in the theological realm. It helps us to understand, first and foremost, what it's not. So to think carefully this morning about what blessings are not, I remembered to go back and read a little book or portions of it that was written by a Presbyterian pastor named Garrett Dawson. It's titled The Blessing Life, a wonderful book that shares the story of God's blessing to us and our call to bless the world around us. But here is what Dawson says when he talks about what blessings are not. He says we have to rescue the word blessing from shallow definitions that involve getting more stuff. I don't like hearing that, do you? We have to rescue the word from shallow definitions of getting more stuff, experiencing fewer problems, or simply having things turn out our way. The heart of blessing in Scripture involves instead a vibrant relationship with the triune God who loves us utterly. Now, we're going to unpack that a little bit. But one thing that really sticks to my mind in Pastor Dawson's thoughts are this. To be blessed is not just to have things go our way, right? So often we feel if we are blessed, we get all of our prayers answered, or we're living on easy street. Dawson challenges that assumption, and it seems to be evident in Scripture as well. Because many of us who are familiar with the life of Paul, the apostle, the proclaimer of the gospel, the evangelist to the Gentiles, many of us would count Paul indeed as one who had been blessed by God. In fact, Paul says as much today in our scripture. He says, not only am I blessed in verse 3, but he says, we all, people of faith, people of Christ, are blessed. He says, Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So Paul, I would consider, is a man who has been wholly blessed by God. But what we know of Paul is that he knew challenge upon challenge. He had adversity throughout his life in ministry. He still had to work and make a living by sewing up tents at times and earning his own way. It was never an easy call of faith to Paul, yet still he considered himself blessed by God. So what is blessing if we know it's not always getting our way and always having everything we think we need? Blessings, our scripture says, are this in verse 4. Blessings are God's gifts of holy and personal love. That's how I interpret verse 4. Let that soak in with you. A blessing from God is His gift. His gift of love, and it's shown to us in two ways. It's holy, holy love, and it's personal, personal love. Wow, what a gift. Friends, that is a blessing. What does it mean to have holy love? In my mind, when I think of holy love, that would have to be described perhaps in another way, even as perfect love. You know, as parents, as school teachers, as coaches, as co-workers, we strive to always do what's right. We strive to love our family perfectly, but oh, we make mistakes, right? We try to balance that of when to say yes and when to say no. What is the perfect love? It's hard for us to know. You know, I was intrigued, as many of you were, on the rescue, the saving of the Thai children this past week. What a miraculous event that was, correct? And I heard as I watched the 2020 report this past week that everything, it seemed, went perfectly. Had they not gotten the children out on that last day, more monsoons were coming. Not only was more problem coming, but their pumps had begun failing as well. So they weren't able to deal with the issues that were already before them. And they put together what seemed to be a perfect plan. In my mind, I was envisioning that they would first take out the smallest children, right? And then move on to the oldest and then the adult. As Manya and I discussed that, she said, you know, they did it right the opposite. The first thing they did was they took out the strongest children who needed rescuing. You see, they understood that if there were any challenges, if there were any adversities, if things didn't go perfectly, the strongest would be more apt to survive as they worked out what changes needed to be made. It was a perfect plan. You see, had I been planning, I would have done it differently. Doesn't that happen so often in our life? We have our own idea of how to love, of what we need to do with our energies, or the directions we need to take, even as a family, as a church, as a business. But if we will surrender our wills for God's perfect plan. He loves us perfectly. He knows, friends, what we need when we need it. There's so much that we don't know when we see in a mirror dimly, but God has run the tape fully out. He knows all of our needs. He loves us perfectly. Our scripture also tells us that God not only loves us perfectly, but yes, He loves us personally. He knows us by name. He loves us as His own. When you think about that, as Paul speaks of in our text today, this personal love, he says in Scripture that in verse 5, we are destined. We are adopted as children through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, he's saying to us, friends, that is a personal love. It's not just a relationship between a creator and those who are created. No, he says, I'm claiming you as my very children. You are family. This is personal, my love for you. We in the Hill household know something about adoption. Not people adoption, but pet adoption. Does that count? And in some ways the pets have chosen us, but I guess we've chosen them. We have a lot of stray cats around our house. And we began catching those cats in an effort to have less cats. We would take them to our local veterinarian and we got a discount, a group rate. The first prize we won as being the customer of the month was a new cat. Manya rejected that gift. And you see, we made a mistake from the outset. We named these cats before we knew what their gender was. So Victoria had to become Victor. Gryffindor became Griff. And we got on a G chain here. We named them, many of them, after family members. We had Gypsy and Gladys and Gadsby and, of course, Gryffindor. And then we identified one as we thought to be the head tomcat. He was kind of a traveling salesman. His name was Gerald. Now, in defense of my dad, we named him after him before we knew his occupation, okay? But here's the thing that happened when we adopted these cats. When we took them to the vet, they no longer were just known as Gryffindor or Gypsy or Gerald. From that day forward, when we got a report on their medical history, you know what their name was? Gryffindor Hill. Gypsy Hill. They had become part of our family. It was personal. That's what happens when we're named. That's what happens when God looks upon us, even in a far greater way, and claims us as part of His family and says, you are my children because I've chosen you. Not because of what you've done, but because of my great, holy, and personal love for you, friends. You are loved by the great giver of life. That's what it means to be blessed. Being blessed is not always having it our way as much as I would want that, right? Being blessed is not always having all the riches of the world in material sense, though we would be more relieved with that. Being blessed by our God is having His holy, perfect love and personal love for us as His children. But you know, there's a beautiful story to this adoption story of our faith. You see what happens in adoption? In our scripture, Paul says this, in Him we have redemption through His blood the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. See what Paul is saying there? Not only did God choose us for adoption, but hear this, church, receive this with me. Not only did God say we were worthy to claiming as His own, but here's what else He did. He bought us. He paid for us. Through His life, with His blood, He said, my life for your life, for you are loved perfectly. You know, this past week I was in Oxford one day and I drove by the Humane Society there, Grace Ann, and on the outside there were banners and little signs that said, adopt today. Just out of curiosity, I got on their website, and boy, they're sneaky. These Humane Societies are sneaky, these animal shelters. You'd believe they had the nerve to put the picture of the dog that they wanted you to adopt and a name under the picture. Boy, that's sneaky. It's tempting. They make it personal. But here's one thing they don't do, I'm pretty sure. None of these adopting agencies for animals make you buy the animal. They wouldn't risk that, would they? You see, no one, even the most gracious among us human people, are willing to pay to have to take care of another of God's creation. You see, that's where our Lord turns it upside down. He says, you are worthy. You're worthy. Not only to be adopted, Pat, but to be bought by the precious blood of my Son, His life for yours, to show my love perfectly and eternally forever. And you know all He asks from us? You know how we bless God back in our Scripture? Paul says it here. He says it at the very last verse we shared today. He says that this pledge, our inheritance as redemption for God's own people, is to His praise and His glory. You know what I think Paul's saying there? The way we bless God is to offer Him our praise. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 22. The psalmist said, receive this, church. The psalmist said that God's throne is built upon the praise of His people. In other words, all God wants from us is to be people of worship, people of thanksgiving. Think of it this way. Do you have a family member that does a lot of nice things for you? A family member that always picks up the check at lunch. Gerald Hill always picks up the check until today when I made fun of him with the cat. And he accuses me of having alligator arms when the bill comes. Do y'all know about alligator arms? It means your arms get real short and you can't grab the bill. Someone else has to get it. And he teases me about that, but really, Jimmy Hopper, he loves buying the meal for his family. And you know what he wants in return? All that makes his heart melt is for them to be thankful. Isn't that all we want from those we love? When we do for them? Just to have hearts of gratitude? And isn't it beautiful that our Heavenly Father above, who gifted us with His blessing of perfect love, of personal love, that all He wants from us, dear church, is to have hearts filled with thanksgiving so that His praises will echo for all the world to hear. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen.